Friends, now we will discuss about the hybrid financing. Normal financing with the equity or with the debt, it can happen. But something in between equity and debt is a hybrid. So, this is something new concept of hybrid financing has evolved. So, let us understand what is this hybrid financing means and how it works, which are those instruments and what is the regulation applied to the hybrid financing. Those things we are considering now in our discussion. In this chapter, we will understand first the hybrid financing, then which are those instruments which are covered under hybrid financing and its types. Characteristic of various instruments that are used in hybrid financing includes including the advantages and disadvantages can also be understood while discussing what is hybrid financing, purpose of hybrid financing and type of hybrid financing. Hybrid finance, as the name indicates, is the financial instrument that partakes into some of the characteristic of the debt and some of the characteristic of equity. You know what is debt and you know what is the equity. Simply, it is a financial security that possesses the characteristic of both debt and equity. The debt and equity are the two extreme points, because one is the equity, that is investment, and another is a loan, that is debt. Debt is a loan. In financial term, it is considered as. So, debt and equity are the two extreme points, and in the midpoint, it lies the hybrid financing. And that offers the investors a benefit of both equity and debt. Equity gives the right to have a residual claim on the cash flows and the assets of the firm and have a control over the management. Whereas, the debt represents the fixed claim over the cash flow and the assets of the firm, but generally do not give the right to control the management. The important form of the hybrid finance are the preference capital, convertible debentures, warrants, options, and so on. Hybrid securities are bought and sold on an exchange through a brokerage. Hybrid may give investors a fixed or a floating rate of return and may pay return to the interest and also dividend. Normally means always, on equity dividend is paid and on the debt interest is paid. Some hybrid returns their face value of the holder when they matures, and some have tax advantages also. In addition to the convertible bonds, another popular type of hybrid security is a convertible preference shares, which pay the dividend at a fixed or a floating rate before common stock dividends are paid and can be exchanged for the shares for the underlying company stock. Each type of hybrid security has unique risk and forward characteristic features. Convertible bonds offer a greater potential for the appreciation than the regular bonds, but pays the less interest than the conventional bond, and still it faces the risk, that is, which is underlying company could perform. If company perform poorly and fails to make the coupon payment or not able to repay the bond face value at the maturity. Convertible security offers a greater income and which is potential than the regular securities, but can still lose the value of its underlying company underperformance. Therefore, other risk of the hybrid securities includes the deferred payment, interest payment, then insolvency, then market price, volatility, early repayment, and illiquidity. Not liquidity, illiquidity, poor liquidity. New type of hybrid securities are being introduced all the time in attempt to meet the needs of the sophisticated investors. Some of these securities are so complicated that it is difficult to define them, either it is debt or it is a equity. In addition to being difficult to understand, another criticism of some hybrid security is that they require the investor to take more risk than the potential return warrants. These are some of the points that we understood. Now let us go a little bit deep into the hybrid financing. Hybrid financing can be defined as combined phase of equity and debt. Always remember this definition, because hybrid financing is between equity and debt, combined phase. This means that the characteristic of both equity as well as the debt or bond are available in the hybrid financing. There are several forms of the hybrid financing, like preference capital, convertible debentures, warrants, then innovative hybrids and so on. The purpose of hybrid financing, why hybrid financing has come into existence in the market? That is the basic question. And answer to it is like this. The concept of hybrid financing has been developed to enjoy the positive factors of both debt and equity instruments. The residual claim is related normally to the equities. If someone is holding the shares of the company, then it is obvious that the person would enjoy some special rights or benefits regarding the cash flow and its assets. Whereas, at the same time, the shareholders of the company is also entitled to play an important role while making the business decisions. Debt instruments are totally different from the equities, that you know. And these instruments are used by the major companies to arrange a kind of loan for the development of the company. The debt instruments do not provide the right to take part in the management of the company. But at the same time, these debt instruments confirms the permanent claim on the assets of the company. Now, these two are totally different, and the purpose of hybrid financing is to combine both. That is, qualities of the both of these instruments, and to develop something better for the investor. Considering that intention, there are different type of hybrid financing. The purpose of hybrid financing is to offer the investor the combination of positive factors of both debt and equity instrument. Equity instruments gives the sense of ownership to the holder and residual claim over the cash flow, while the debt instruments are issued to raise the capital in the firm that could be used as a development. Some of the main types of the instruments in hybrid financing are preference capital, convertible debentures, warrants, and options. Let us see one by one what are the characteristics of these instruments. But before that, this is what the diagrammatic presentation for the hybrid financing. It will be preference capital, convertible debentures, warrants, and then options. These are again further explained in the subsequent slides. Preference capital, let us understand what it is and what is its characteristic and pros and cons. The preference capital is that portion of the capital which is raised through the issue of preference shares. This is the hybrid form of financing that has certain characteristic of equity and certain attributes of the debt instrument, that is debentures. This capital is always preferred at the time of distribution of the dividend. Again, preference capital is paid first when the company is winding up and it's in its activities. And the equity capital always comes next. So, preference is given to this type of capital much before the equity capital, that is why it is preference capital. Now, what is the advantage of this preference capital? See, there is no legal obligation as such for the firms to pay the dividend to the preference shareholders. There is no obligation as such. The redemption of the preference share is also not distressful for the firm, since the shares are redeemed out of the profits and through the issue of the fresh shares, as well as the preference capital is considered as a component of the net worth. Hence, the creditworthiness of the firm is getting increased. Preference shareholders do not enjoy the voting rights, and thus there is no dilution of the control. There are certain disadvantages are also there for the preference capital, because preference capital is, or preference shares is, always expensive as compared to the debt of the capital, debt capital, because unlike the debt interest, preference dividend is tax deductible. Although there is no legal obligations to pay the dividend on the preference shares, when the payment is made, it is done along with the arrears. The preference shareholders can claim prior to the equity shareholders in case the dividends are being paid or at the time of winding up of the firm. If the company does not pay or skips the preference shareholders or preference dividend for some time, then the preference shareholders could acquire the voting rights. There is a provision in the Act. The preference capital is like an equity in the sense that the preference dividend is paid out of the distributable profit, and it is not obligatory on the part of the company to pay the preference dividend, and these dividends are not tax deductible. The portion of this preference capital resembles the debentures, as the rate of dividend is fixed. Preference shareholders are given priority over the equity shareholders in case of dividend payment, and preference shareholders do not have the right to vote, and the preference capital is also repayable. Now, next instrument is convertible debentures. Convertible debentures are those that can be transformed into the shares of the same company, and these debentures are also known as convertible bonds. The ratio of conversion from bond to share or debenture to share is fixed by the company, and the bonds are usually converted to the common stock. The convertible debentures are the type of loan that can be converted into the stock of the company after a stipulated period at the option of the holder, or the issuer is under the special circumstances. These are issued with the intent to raise the money to expand or maintain the business operations at considerable low interest rate. The debentures are the long term debts instruments on which the company is obliged to pay the interest to its shareholders. Sometimes the debentures are issued with the opinion of convertibility which the debenture holders can get these debentures and convert it into stock of the company, either the fully or partly. As per the SEBI norms or SEBI regulations, there are certain provisions which applies in case the debentures are converted into stock, either fully or partly. These norms or guidelines of the SEBI that we can consider now or discuss now. First one is the conversion time. The conversion time along with the other conversion premium should be stated in the prospectus itself. The conversion partial or full must be at the disposal of the debenture holders, provided the conversion takes place at or after 18 months, but before 36 months. The conversion is to be made optional with the put or call option in case the debenture provides the conversion after 36 months, and in case the conversion period is fully convertible, debentures are exceeds 18 months, and then the compulsory credit rating is required. Though the above provision or whatever the provision we have discussed now, it is clear that the convertible debentures could be of three types. Which are those types? First one is compulsory convertible debentures, which provides 100% conversion within 18 months from the issue. Then optional convertible debentures, which provides the conversion within 36 months, and the next one is a debenture with a call, sorry, of and next one debentures with a call or put option in case the conversion exceeds 36 months. So before 18 months, compulsory convertible debentures, before 36 months, optionally convertible debentures, and debentures with a call or put option after 36 months of the period. The convertible debentures are the beneficial to the investor since they get an opportunity to become owner of the company, because that time equity will be issued, shares will be issued, and might leave the case in the company's experience and the losses. But however, the convertible debentures are unsecured, and in case of the company goes to the bankrupt, the holders get its money only after the secured creditors are paid. The major disadvantage of the issuer is that if the company makes a huge profit, then the investor would also like to become the shareholders of the owner, which results into the dilution of the ownership of the company. Third one is a warrant. Warrant is a kind of hybrid financing, and it is very close to the security options. Any person who is holding the warrant is guaranteed to be provided with the specific number of underlying instruments, and the prices for its instrument is a fix much earlier, that is previously. This means that if the value of the instrument is going up, the investor can make good amount of the profit, and if the market is not favorable, the warrant holder is not bound to use the warrant. Like securities market, here also both the call and put options for the warrants are also available. The stock warrants are likely options, are like the options that gives the holder the right but not the obligation to buy or sell the security at a specific time and the specific date. Unlike options, these are issued by the company itself and the traded more over the counter on an exchange, that is OTC. The stock warrants are issued to sweeten the debt, as the purchase or sale of these warrants, the company is holding such a stock can raise the money through equity, which is not possible in case of options. Also, the investor cannot write or put the warrants as an in case of option. The warrants enjoy the benefit of elongated maturity period over the option, as the former can last up to the 15 years, whereas the latter generally expires in 2 to 3 years' time. The purpose of the issuance of the warrant is that the companies include these into the debt equity issue, as it helps to reducing the cost of financing and getting the assurance of the additional capital in case the stock does well. The stock warrant certificate comprises of certain following instruments, that is, types of warrants. There are two types of warrant. One is call warrant and second one is a put warrant. These are optional warrants. The call warrant gives the holder a right to buy certain shares at a specific time on or before the certain dates, while the put warrant gives the right to sell these. Exercising the price. The exercise the price or the strike price is the amount that needs to be paid either for the purchase of the call warrant or the sale or put warrants. Expiration date. On the warrant certificate, the date on which the warrant will be get expired is clearly mentioned, and after which the holder cannot exercise any rights of the warrant. Underlying assets. The underlying security for which the warrant seller are obliged to deliver the purchase from warrant buyer is clearly stated in the warrant certificate. And warrant style, it refers to the manner in which the warrants can be exercised, and there are two styles currently in the market, that is American style and second one is a European style. In the former style, that is American style, the warrant can be exercised at any time before its expiry date, whereas in the latter stage, that is warrants can be exercised on the expiration date itself. There is no other option. Then conversion rate, it refers to the number of warrants that are needed to be buy or sell on one unit of the investment. The companies usually add the warrants with its new securities are offering, and therefore whether the investor exercises the warrant, he gets the newly issued stock rather than the existing outstanding stock. Due to this, the warrant causes the dilution, as the company is obliged to issue new share to the shareholder, new shares wherever the investor exercises his warrant, and which is not in case of options, where the investors get a stock from existing companies, the shares of the company. Stock option. Stock option is the security that gives a right to the holder, but the obligation to buy or sell the shares or outstanding stocks at the specific price and the specific date. The stock options are traded on SEBI, on securities exchange like other shares, and the people purchases the stock option if they believe that the stock price is likely to go up or down soon. For example, if today the stock is traded at rupees 1000 per share and is expected to increase in the next month to 1200 per share, then you will buy the call option today at rupees 1000 so that you can sell it at 1200 in the next month and make the profit of 200 on each share purchased. It's a simple mathematics. A stock option is a contract in which the following terms are included. A type of stock option, there is two types of options, call option and put options. The call option gives the buyer the right not to but not the obligation to buy underlying stock, while the put option gives the right and not the obligation to sell them. One who buys the options are called as a holder, whereas one who sells these are called as a writer. Strike price is the price at which the option holder can buy or sell underlying assets when option is getting exercised. Option premium, an amount paid to acquire the options, is called as a option premium. The option buyer has to pay the premium to the option seller for carrying on the risk, and the amount of the premium, which depends on the strike price, volatility of the changes in the price of underlying assets, and the time period till the option expires. In a contract, the date on which the option expires is clearly mentioned. Thus, every option which comes as an expiry date, after which the options becomes worthless and the holder has no right to exercise it. There are two types of option style, as I earlier mentioned, that is American style and European style. American style option can be exercised anytime before the expiry date, whereas European style option can be only exercised on the date of expiry itself. The security for which the option seller has the obligation to deliver the purchase from the option buyer is called as underlying assets. Thus, the underlying asset for which the whole option in the contract is made is clearly mentioning therein. For example, if there are stock options, then the underlying assets is a share of the specific company. The contract must include the multiplier, which means that the quantity of the underlying assets that needs to be delivered at the time of option is exercised. The stock options are also issued to the specific employees of the company and are called as employee stock options or ESOPs. And with this, we conclude our discussion on the chapter which is called as hybrid financing. Thank you very much.